was a little old bitty boy. And I used to tell my buddies that the Germans saw my daddy coming and they surrendered.
They had the flu back. Well, I guess they called it
the flu. When so many people, in fact, more people died of the flu than was killed in the war. And he got the flu over in France. And he went to the doctor. And the doctor told him, he said, son, they're dying like flies in the hospital. They don't have room. They got them out in halls and everywhere else. And said, the best thing you can do is just eat all you can eat. And says, when you lose it, go eat some more. And daddy said he'd get so sick and vomit, you know, and leave. And said he'd crawled in under the mess hall tent at night and find food and eat it. And he lived through it. But he had a brother that died back here in the States. I was reading in the paper the other day about how many million people died in the flu epidemic.
Probably in 1919. When was the war over? World War I.
Was it 1918 or?
What 1918?
The war ended 1918.
1901.
Those inside of land when they received word that the war ended. I don't really know.
I'll look up the date.
I don't really know the date.
How would you describe your mother?
She was very strict.
Your mother was strict?
Yes. I remember when she caught me smoking in a fig tree behind the house. And I'll tell you, she was strict. She wore my britches out. She was very polite. She saw to it that we learned manners, saying yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And then she said something, yeah, which she crushed you just like that.
She taught Sunday school a lot, too, didn't she?
Yeah. She taught Sunday school for a good while, and she was in the Eastern Stars for a long time. She was, what's the highest you can go in it? Matron?
Worthy
matron. Worthy matron. But she loved games. We'd all always have some kind of games that our children played with, and she would play with us. And she loved to play, what's that game, Hearts?
I don't remember what it was.
Some kind of card game that they like to play all the time.
Oh, I remember the ones my parents would play Brook.
Oh, they played Brook. That's one of the games they played. There's something else they played, though. The neighbor lived next door. He and his wife would come over and they'd play games. That's about all I remember on her. She loved to play that piano, though. She'd play that piano and sing.
Do you remember ever, did she ever play music with me when you were little?
I don't remember her.
I don't remember.
We've still got a lot of her old.
She died in
59. She died before I was born.
We still got a lot of her old music.
Yeah.
She used to play like songs like.
Oh, Catherine got a lot of music.
Her old spinning wheel in the parlor and tiptoeing through the tulips and those kind of songs. I remember there's one song. She used to play it to me. It's called Billy Boy. And she played all kind of songs. She played the piano a lot. until she got older, then she didn't like too much.
Did she have a hard life? Or was it depression the only time? I mean, what kind of maybe socioeconomic level were they in? Were they?
You mean during the depression or when she was growing up?
In general. Well, but all of it in.
Well, when she was growing up, when she was growing up, she was from a well-to-do family. Her father was pretty well-to-do.
Mm-hmm.
And now after she married, and daddy married, I think they had it rough for a few years. They were farming, lived up in Martha's Vineyard. And of course, she couldn't make nothing farming, and she had a brother that was superintendent of the life and cash insurance company, Mobile. So he wrote daddy and told him if he'd come down there, he'd give him a job. So dad got rid of all of his farming equipment, and that's when we moved to Mobile in 1927. And dad worked 2 years collecting insurance and didn't have an automobile. He lost his raft. Then after that, he was so good with figures, you know, adding figures,
mm-hmm.
they put him in the home office. And he worked fast the rest of the time we lived in Mobile, balancing the books and everything. When other insurance men would come in and turn in the money, well, he would have to count that money in, you know, and be sure that everything was collected right and went to the right account and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He did that from 1929 until 1936. We never went hungry, but we went through some rough times in Mobile during the Depression. Of course, it was rough on everybody.
A few days before he died, I was up here and we were sitting out here by the fireplace. And he told me about when he was farming before they moved to Mobile. And he would take, like, vegetables and take it down and swap it for flour and sugar and meal. That, you know, staple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he would trade vegetables for staples.
So he had, like, a little garden.
He farmed. He had a garden and a farm.
Was that when he lived in Mobile? Or
no, this is
more like a farm.
Off of Ben.
Was he like a sharecropper? Or did he own his own land?
Grandma. His mother owned two or three farms in Off of Ben and owned this farm here and across the river. Up there where Hope's Bluff School is,
mm-hmm.
there used to be corn fields and cotton fields out behind it. In other words, the Griffith estate took 10 acres out of their field and gave it to the county for them to build the Hope's Bluff School. The old Hope's Bluff School was a wooden building that's on the hill where your grandmother's house
mm-hmm.
is.
It burnt down.
It burnt down. And they built a, they gave them that 10 acres across the road for the new Hope's Bluff High School, and they built a new building there. And it was finished in the summer of 1936, because we moved up here in the summer of 1936, and I started the high school in that new building. And then the county turned around and deeded that 5 acres to Daddy.
On the field.
And then Daddy, Doc Junior, went and built that smaller house there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Daddy split it down the middle and gave Doc Junior that 2.5 acres and gave me the 2.5 acres on the hill. And then when Doc Junior got ready to build that new house, he asked me if I would give him
a half an acre
to where it would put him up enough on that hill to build that house.
Mm-hmm.
And later, the other 2 acres were sold, and that guy built half of them. But Daddy was just a farmer until we went to Mobile.
And
Are you still doing
I'm kind of going back and forth, whichever, which way you want to go. I figured I could start back with Big Papa. Last thing I want to get on, Mama Griffith was when she died.
What, ma'am?
When your mother died. What?
Year?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's 1969.
Yeah, in August of 69.
She was 75 years old when she died.
Okay. Do you remember when her father died? Did you say your dad's parents, your grandparents, were farmers?
On my daddy's side?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was a farmer, and he had a store across the road. He ran a store all the time. The farms he had, he rented them out. They had sharecroppers back then,
mm-hmm.
You know. That's why people, when they rent a farm, they get so much success. But he mostly ran that store across the road from here.
Okay. How about his siblings? How big of a family did he come from?
There was 8 children. 5 boys and 3 girls.
Okay. Didn't you say mostly during his childhood he had the farm?
And Dr. Junior's.
Daddy
grew up here, and he had a farm. They had the farm across the river, and he was born. They had the farm back down here behind the school, and it went all the way down to the Circle Feed Grocery, and that's it. They farmed this here. I remember when it was cotton field, cornfield over there behind the school, and they farmed Atlanta. Across the river.
So the staple crop mainly cotton?
That cotton and corn and hay for their stock, livestock. But that's what he did growing up. He just helped farm.
Would you consider his family to be fairly well off considering how much land they owned?
Yes, They wasn't what you call rich. Nothing like that, but they were pretty well off.
Okay. Ask more about his education. You said he went to Etowah.
He went to Etowah High School, and in 10th grade, he left 10th grade and went to college at Clarksville, Tennessee to play college ball. Because they put him in a English class, and this English teacher didn't like football players. And whenever he'd ask a question, he'd ask my dad. He'd ask a question and call on my dad to answer it. It was embarrassing my dad. He didn't know. And dad told the teacher to go talk to his coach. And he says, "I don't have to talk to the coach, you in my class." And Dad says, "Well, go talk to the president of the school." And he says, "I don't have to talk to the president of the school." So Daddy got up and walked out, and he went to the coach and said, "Give me a ticket, train ticket back to here." He says, "What's the matter, Doc?" He said, "Well, that English teacher, he keeps asking me questions that I don't know, and it's embarrassing me." and said, I'm not going to put up with it. They just give me a ticket back home. He said, no, we'll straighten it out. So they went to the president's office, and they put him in a Bible class. Daddy, now, Daddy can tell you the Bible. He knew the Bible. They put him in a Bible class where he stayed in school and played football until he got his knee hurt. And grandmother made him quit and come home. And that's when he went back to Eddie World, and he played on the team. And back then, they picked out a player of the team, and he was the coach, too. He played and coached. And then when he left it, Eddie World was when he went up to Albertville.